Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yo, siyelele mama, uhelele. Yo, siyelele mama, uhelele. Yo, siyelele mama, uhelele. Yo, siyelele mama.
It's another day, another weekend, and it's another time for your Afrocentric magazine show, Radio Africana, live on Radio Africana with your anchorman Chris Okunua. Yeah, it's always great to be back here doing this live, and big shout out to my man Emmanuel Emiet. For holding fort all this while, to ensure that you are lovers of this program, lovers of African true stories. I mean, a story from Africa with the right perspective, that you all never miss, you know, a week of this show. A big shout out to Emiet, wherever you are, for doing a yeoman's job for the past couple of weeks. But finally, I'm back here now doing this live. This is one of the things that I love to do most. And maybe what I live for, if you ask me. Yeah, Africa Weekly is the show, live on Radio Africana. Remember, you can always be part of our world, not just on this show, but every other entertaining, educative, and informative program of this time by, you know, downloading our app, which is available on Apple, Play Store, iOS. Download our app, and wherever you go, you have us at your fingertip. As long as you access the internet, we'll be there with you, okay, to entertain and inform you. So on the show, we have different segment. We have the, I like to call it the news and current affairs segment. That's, you know, bringing to you the news, make a run in motherland Africa. At times, maybe most of the time, it's not so pleasant. You know, we just have to say the way it is so that we can bring light to the plight of African people, to issues bedeviling the great continent of Africa. And then after that, it will be time for us to talk culture and tourism. You know, I've always maintained there is nothing like culture, there's nothing like tourism, there's nothing like nature and undiluted, untapped beauty without mentioning or talking Africa. So we'll talk about that by profiling a particular culture or clan or tribe in Africa. We're going to do one today, and then you know, at the right time, I will let the cat out of the bag. And after that, we'll talk entertainment as well. Yeah, so entertainment now is a big thing when it comes to Africa, and also the impact of Africa in the world of entertainment cannot just be quantified anymore. So we'll talk entertainment. There's always something to share with you on the entertainment front in Africa. All right, and then lastly, we end the show with a sports segment. I've got personal fetish for that one. Yeah, that's, you know, you know, I like to talk sport naturally, so it's always a delight to end the show with the sport segment. And most of the time, our sport content are from Africa or sport event outside of Africa with Africans' input or interest. So that's how we do it on this show. Moving on the show, it will be time for us to get underway, and as usual, we'll be starting with the current affairs segment. A lot of not pleasant stories coming from Africa over the last couple of days, a week, particularly in Cameroon and lately in Tanzania. These are post-election violence, and most of these violence, you know, I mean, because of this violence is that some section of the citizens in these two African countries, Cameroon and Tanzania, are not pleased with the outcome or with what was announced by the electoral bodies in these two countries. In Cameroon, Paul Biya has been announced as the winner of the latest election in Cameroon. Paul Biya has been in power, I think, since 1980, and that's some 45 years of ruling Cameroon. Of course, he's not the youngest man around. Yeah, I'll tell you that for a fact. And there's been a lot of scrutiny and now around his capability in terms of, his physical ability to govern. And some are saying the country is being governed by prosy because Paul Biya physically is not available, is not on ground to do what is expected of a city president. That's the stories, claims from different quarters of Cameroon and maybe in Africa as well. So Paul Biya announced the winner of the recently concluded election in Cameroon, and that sparked a lot of violence across the country. Of course, the military will try to suppress these demonstrations, this protest and all of that, but I can tell you the voice of the people are still being heard aloud. And then while we are still grappling with that of Cameroon, then we have a new one. This time around, it involved a woman. I'm talking about a sitting president of Tanzania, right? Okay. President Samia Suluhu Hassan has been declared The winner of Tanzania's presidential election securing another term in office amid days of unrest across the country. According to the Electoral Commission, Samia won 98% of the votes, nearly sweeping the 32 million ballots cast in Wednesday's election. You heard me right there. So according to the result, Samia swept, won 98% of the votes. Incredible. Now, international observers have expressed concern over the lack of transparency and widespread turmoil that has reportedly left hundreds of people dead and hundreds injured. The nationwide internet shutdown in Tanzania is making it difficult to verify the death toll. The government has sought to play down the scale of the violence, and authorities have extended a curfew in bid to quell the unrest. Right, Samia secured about 31.9 million votes, or 97.66% of the total, with turnout nearing 87% of the country's 37.6 million registered voters. The electoral chief said. The electoral chief is Jacobs Nwabigele. Right, in Tanzania, semi autonomous archipelago of Zanzibar. Yeah, of course, if you love traveling to Africa for holidays, if you haven't been to Zanzibar, you must have heard about Zanzibar, a very beautiful and wonderful holidays destination. A lot of tourist attraction over there in Zanzibar. There is semi autonomous, archipelago. Tanzania, and they also elect their own government and leader CCM's Hussein Winyi, who is the incumbent president, won with nearly 80% of the vote. The opposition in Zanzibar as well said there had been massive fraud. Right, that's just the sad stories that we need to share with you coming out of Africa over the last couple of days, a couple of weeks. We talk about that of Paul Biya, of course, getting re-elected in Cameroon. The people feel this is against their wish. This is not a true reflection of the populace, but the electoral authority, the electoral authority regardless, announced that Paul Biya, 92-year-old, Paul Biya as winner of the election. According to the result, he got 53.7% of the vote. Right, so that's the story of sitting tight, president in Africa sitting tight, not want to leave power. We do believe in recent time we think the narrative is changing, but if a couple of time we still have this kind of story, here and there. Right, the thing is, that's why we have three arms of government: the legislative arm, the executive, the judiciary. When issues like this happen after election, that's where the judiciary comes in. It is expected that the aggrieved parties, particularly the opposition in both Cameroon and Tanzania, we go to court to seek justice or redress. And some would say that's another difficult path to go, because it is believed some of this judiciary the judiciary arm of government in some of this country are rubber stamped, just like the legislative arm, and they do the witch of the executive arm. So it's a very difficult situation for people who feel ultra believe the outcomes of these elections in Cameroon and Tanzania is not a true reflection of what the majority of the people wish or how they vote. Right, let's just hope that something will happen and this story will change. But then let's just keep faith with the judiciary, hoping that they'll get to do the needful. Alright, so that's that about the stories from Cameroon and Tanzania. So we'll take a pause, not for musica, but then I have to look through and bring you another story. Right. Moving on this show, Africa Weekly Live on Radio Africana, with your man Chris Okunua. We're still talking current affairs, I mean issues from Africa as it happened. That's how we do it every Saturday. We bring you development from Africa. We bring you news stories, politics, economy, you name it. And also we talk entertainment and sports, and not forgetting culture and tourism. We're still on the news segment, and this time we're going to South Africa. Okay, the South African government has criticized the US decision to prioritize refugee applications from white Africans, saying claims of a white genocide have been widely discredited and lack reliable evidence. It highlighted an open letter published by prominent members of the African community earlier this week, rejecting the narrative, with some signatories calling the relocation scheme racist. Okay, the limited number of white South Africaners signing up to relocate to the U.S. was indication that they were not being persecuted, it added. On Thursday, the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump announced its lowest refugee annual cap on record to just 7,500. The exact figure of the number of white South Africans who have been admitted through the U.S. scheme are not available. South Africa's latest crime statistics do not indicate that more white people have fallen victim to violent crime than other racial groups. Earlier this year, President Trump offered refugee status to Afrikaners who are mostly descendant of Dutch and French settlers, after South African President Cyril Ramaphosa signed a law allowing the government to seize land without compensation in rare instances. Right? Most private farmland is owned by white South Africans, who make up just over 7% of the population. Right, it's a lot of contentious issue now, particularly the land ownership and right in South Africa. The white South Africans, who are just a little over 70% of the population, owns majority of the land, the farmland in South Africa. But a new rule, a policy of the government, allow this land be taken away without some form of compensation. That's where the whole issues stem from in the beginning. However, the ownership of this land by the white South Africans were facilitated during the apartheid regime, and the colored, the blacks and other races in Africa, the fact that they were shortchanged in terms of land ownership and right during the apartheid regime, reason some of them welcomed this development from the government of the day by taking land off farmers without some form of farmland anyway, without some form of compensation. It's a bit controversial, however. These led to some sort of unrest, clash, and some unpleasant situation, which drew the attention of the U.S. President Donald Trump. And because in the media before now, it is reported that the Afrikaners, that the white South Africans, are being persecuted, or they felt persecuted, and because of that, Trump offered them asylum, status. I mean, offered them the chance to come to the U.S. to live as asylum seekers. And of course, the belief now is that the number of those who have applied to seek asylum in U.S. is extremely low than what many would have expected. And that's what President Cyril Ramaphosa is saying. That's to prove to Donald Trump and the world there is no persecution of the white in South Africa. That's the reason they are not accepting your offer to come seek asylum in U.S., because they are well protected, they are secure, they are fine. There's no attack targeted towards them in South Africa. So do not make issue where there is no issue. That's what Cyril Ramaphosa is telling Donald J. Trump. Don't create issue where there's none, particularly in my domain, in my country. Right. that's where the situation is. I think if you ask me, because remember when Cyril Ramaphosa visited the White House some few months back, a lot of pictures, we saw some picture that was shown in the White House to depict the white Africaners being persecuted, being attacked or killed in South Africa at the White House. That took Cyril Ramaphosa by surprise. But later on, a closer look at the picture shows that those pictures weren't even from South Africa. So it created a misleading sort of opinion in the media or in the public space, but that has been proven wrong. And of course, Cyril Ramaphosa is, you know, reiterating there is no any form of genocide, no any form of attack against white people in South Africa. So it's all gimmick. That's according to President Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa. Right, I'll be taking this one. It has to do with economy of finance and still has to do with South Africa as well. Now, Nigeria, South Africa, Mozambique and Burkina Faso have been removed from the Financial Action Task Force FATF Global Grey List. The FATF, a global watchdog that tracks how countries combat money laundering and terrorist financing. According to the group, the four nations have made significant progress in addressing weaknesses that previously rendered them high-risk destinations for illicit financial flows. The announcement made in Paris yesterday is being described as a vote of confidence for Africa's two largest economies in Nigeria and South Africa, whose grey listing in recent years had raised concerns among investors and international lenders. So that's a welcome development there for Nigeria and South Africa, and not just Nigeria and South Africa, we also have Mozambique and Burkina Faso, you know, being removed from the Financial Action Task Force Global Grey List, right? They are the watchdog that tracks how countries fight, you know, money laundering and terrorist financing. So it's good Nigeria, South Africa and two other African countries in Burkina Faso and Mozambique are coming off that list. So that's a welcome development, a vote of confidence, a, you know, morale boosters for potential investors in these two countries, particularly Nigeria and South Africa, and not forgetting Mozambique and Burkina Faso, under the leadership of Ibrahim Traore. All right, we're going to take a pause now for a musica, and after that it will be time for us to come back to talk culture and tourism on this show Radio Africana, on this show Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. We'll take a pause for this from this one from Femi Kuti. He called this one sorry. I'll be right back.
true be the things my ears they hear. Politicians and soldiers making meeting. Our country them one we be here. Them they make like say them no no. Say now them a spoil our country so. As them they taparu and they go. Now some my people they follow. I'm sorry, sorry, oh.
Right, Sorry Sorry by Femi Kuti. Sorry for Africa, sorry for Nigeria, with a kind of leaders and all of that. So that's like an evergreen song, a rallying song, you know, saying that things need to change for good in Africa. Evergreen. Femi Kuti, the son of late legendary singer Fela Kuti, fondly called the Abamieda. Right, welcome back to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. Now it's time for us to move on to the next segment of this show. But just before we do that, I'd like to let you know, in case you are a first timer and you're just tuning in, this is Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. The program comes on air 4 p.m. That's UK time. Remember, you can also get to listen to this program and every other good entertainer and informative program of this day from any part of the world, because we are available on iOS, on Play Stores, on Apple, on Amazon. I mean, just as long as you can access the internet, and also by simply, you know, visiting our website at www.radioafricana.com. So it's that simple. So you can catch up with us and we'll be there at your fingertips, okay? Remember to turn in next time. So now we are done with the news segment and we're moving on to culture and tourism. So on culture and tourism, I've got a news for you today. Now, near one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Great Pyramid of Khufu at Giza, Egypt, is officially opening what it intends as a cultural highlight of the modern age. Okay, the Grand Egyptian Museum, GEM, described as the world's largest archaeological museum, is packed with some 100,000 artifacts covering some 7 millennia of the country's history from pre-dynastic times of the Greek and Roman eras. Right. Prominent Egyptologists argue that its establishment strengthens their demand for key Egyptian antiquity held in other countries to be returned, including the famed Rosetta Stone display at the British Museum. There, you know, like some people say in the British in the past, I'm not saying now, the British always find a way to show up and leave. Wow, some say ruins, but amidst of that, I've seen a lot of positivity in terms of the British legacy in their former colonies like Nigeria, where I used to live, education, and to slave trade and all of that. These are positive contributions of the British government or authority in the past to the world at large. So it's not just about ruins or negativity, but then the impact of some of the exploration, the expedition of the British authority in the past to some of this country, the effect is still being felt to today. If you go to the museum here, you'll see artifacts from Nigeria, from Ile-Ife, Nigeria, from Benin, talking about the Benin Kingdom of the Edo people. Their artifact is littered around the museum here in the UK. And now we read same for Egypt, the Rosetta Stone displayed at the British Museum. You know, prominent Egyptologists are saying setting up this gem, talking about the Grand Egyptian Museum, will really strengthen that call for this artifact to be returned to where they truly belong. Right. A main draw of the gem would be the entire content of the intact tomb of the boy king Tutankhamun, displayed together for the first time since it was found by British Egyptologist Howard Carter. They include Tutankhamun's spectacular gold mask, throne, and chariot. That's the tomb of this late pharaoh, talking about Tutankhamun. The tomb is still very much intact. That's talk about the advanced knowledge. I don't know if I should use the word technology for these ancient Egyptian people. What they've done in centuries, thousands of years ago, still marvels the current world. Look at the pyramid. The world is still struggling to understand how the pyramid was constructed in the first place. The argument is, the ancient Egyptians, were they black Africans, or were they Mediterranean people, or were they the ancestors of today's Egyptian? That's an entire topic on its own, or a debate on its own. But the world is still being marveled about what the ancient Egyptians did, the civilization, the remnant of what it was like in the, how will I describe it now, thousands of years ago, is still being seen, and the world can still not fathom or understand how some of these things came to be. That's to tell you the advancement, the advanced knowledge and civilization of the ancient Egyptian. Of course, Egypt is an African country. You have to remember that. That is not a debate. Egypt is situated in Africa. Reason we're talking about this on Africa Weekly. Okay. Right, it is time for us to talk culture and tourism. Today we'll be talking about a particular group in a country, another old country of old civilization, and that is Ethiopia. They argue that they still retain the oldest form of Bible in the world. That's to tell you how ancient Ethiopian civilization is. The Oromo people are the people we'll be talking about today. The Oromo people are a Kushitic ethnic group native to Oromia region of Ethiopia and part of northern Kenya. They speak the Oromo language, also called Afan Oromo, which is part of the Kushitic branch of the Afro-Asiatic language family. They are one of the largest ethnic groups in Ethiopia. I think they're largest. Yeah, they are the largest, not one of the largest. They are the largest. According to the last Ethiopian census of 2007, that's a long time now. So since 2007, there's not been censors in Ethiopia. Not so good. The Roman number 25,488,344 people, or 34.5% of the Ethiopian population. Recent estimate have the Oromo comprising 45 million people, or 35.8% of the total Ethiopian population, estimated at 116 million. Okay. Historically, historical linguistics and comparative ethnology studies suggest that the Oromo people probably originated around the Lake Shubaha and Lake Kamo. They are Cushite people, and prior to their expansions, they inhabited only the region of what is now modern-day North Kenya and Southern Ethiopia. Okay, that's talking about their possible origin. The earliest recorded mention of the Oromos come from the Italian, talking about a Venetian cartographer, Fra Mauro, who noted Igala River south of the Awash River in his famous Mapomodo, or Map of the World, completed in 1460. So that's the first time someone would document about the Oromo people. A lot to read about the Oromo people anyway, but we just have to glance through them up here, as we do not have enough time to digest it all. Now, the subgroups. The Oromo consists of two major branches that break down into an assortment of clan families. From west to east, the Burana Oromo, also called the Burana, are a semi-pastoralist group living in southern Oromia and northern Kenya. The Burana inhabit the Burana zone of the Oromia region of Ethiopia and the former northern frontier district of northern Kenya. They speak a dialect of Afa Oromo, the Oromo language. Okay, Barantu or Barantuma is the other moiety of the Oromo people. The Barantu Oromo inhabit the eastern part of the Oromia region in the zones of West Harahe, Asi Zone, Bali Zone, Diari Dawa City, the Jigga Zone of the Somali region, Administrative Zone 3 of the Afar region, Oromia Zone of the Amara region, and also found in Raya Azebu, Anas in the Tigray region. These are the region places you can find the Oromo people. Oromo, like I've said, is a branch of the Afro-Asiatic language, you know. Their religion, the Oromo followed their traditional religion, Wakifena, and were restrained to religious conversion before assimilation in Sultanate and Christian kingdoms. The influential 30-year war from 1529 to 1559 between the three parties, the Wakifena, the Christians, and Muslims, dissipated the political strength of all three. The religious beliefs of the Oromo people evolved in this socio-political environment. In the 19th century and first half of the 20th century, Protestant or Catholic missionaries' efforts spread Christianity among the Oromo. Organizations included Sudan Interior Mission, the Bible Church Missionary Society, the Seventh-day Adventist, and the likes. So that has altered the religious belief of the Oromo. They are now partly Christian, Muslims, though they still hold, some still hold on to their traditional religion. All right, in the 2007 Ethiopian census for Oromo region, which included Oromo and some non-Oromo residents, there was a total of 13 million followers of Christianity. That's over 8 million among them Orthodox, as expected, and 12 million followers of Islam, and 887,000 followers of traditional religions. Okay. Let's talk about this. Oromo people have governed themselves in accordance with the Gada system, known before the 16th century. The system regulates the political, economic, social, and religious activities of the community. Oromo were traditionally a culturally homogeneous society with genealogical ties. A male born in the Oromo clan went through 5 stages of 8 years, where his life established his role and status of consideration to a Gada office. Every 8 years, the Oromo will choose by consensus 9 leaders of the for the office. A leader elected by the Gada system remains in power only for 8 years, with an election taking place at the end of those 8 years. There are 3 Gada organs of governance: Gada Council, Gada General Assembly, and the Kalu Assembly. The Gada Council is considered the collective achievement of the members of the Gada class. It is responsible for coordinating Ireka. The Gada General Assembly is the legislative body of the Gada government, while the Kalu Assembly is the religious institution. This is indigenous system of government, well structured, more like the way we have democracy. But this wasn't borrowed from anyone. It was developed within the Oromo people. Brilliant stuff there, if you ask me. And that's the youth to govern themselves successfully. Of course, I just have to move on now from that and quickly see some site of attractions in Oromo land. Now, if you are traveling down to Ethiopia and you're visiting the Oromo people, there are places that you can see to, you know, savour the beauty in Ethiopia and by extension in Africa as well. There is the Bay Mountains National Park, a haven for nature lovers. This park is home to Ethiopian wolves, the endangered mountain Inyala, and various bird species. It offers stunning landscapes and trekking opportunities as well. We also have the Sof Oma Cave, one of the largest and most beautiful cave systems in Africa. Sof Oma Cave features 7 entrances and numerous chambers with mosque built by Sheikh Abida Adao at its heart. Then we have Lake Ziwe, the nearest Rift Valley lake of Ethiopia to Addis Ababa. Lake Ziwe is popular spot for bird watching and offers breathtaking views. Then we have the Portuguese Bridge, a historical bridge with a panoramic view of the Gema Valley. It's a must visit for its historical presence and stunning scenery. And there's the Kuruftu Water Park, Ethiopia's premier water park, offering a thrilling experience for visitors of all age. This site, among others, showcases the rich cultural heritage, natural beauty, and historical significance of Oromia, making it a must-visit destination for travelers. So if you're planning your next visit to Africa on holidays, you have nowhere in mind at the moment, consider Ethiopia and visit the Oromo people. You'll enjoy what nature has blessed the Oromo people with. Okay, so that's gonna be it for the culture and tourism segment of this show. Next week it will be time for us to talk about another culture, another tribes, another civilization in Africa. Right, we're leaving the cultural segment and taking a pause now to talk entertainment when we come back.
Blackness, oneness, so rare.
So much love to give.
Let them know they're missing out, Mama Africa.
So much love to share.
Sweet blackness, oneness, be there.
So much love to give.
Let them know they're missing out. Sing again.
Hey, this for all the love and the life took away. Don't forget we were bought and traded. Ripped from the land and shipped away.
Yeah.
Is the inspiration we use to survive. You have to see it with your own cry.
Don't play at it up in a ride.
Still you don't know the land is so golden green. The place is so fresh and clean.
And every day I water my garden. Tell if you feel it deep in your heart.
The space is so cool and nice. Visit once, guaranteed to visit twice. And if you just believe in the Most High,
I know you'll be alright. Mama Africa has
so much love to share.
Pure blackness, one.
them know they missing out. Mama Africa, you
so much love to share.
Sweet blackness, oneness, be there.
So much love to care.
And let them know they missing out. Sing again.
Hey.
That's my favorite place when I need to get away. Must forget, but we can't forget to pray. Like plants right on the runway. In my homeland and I'm feeling so alive. Hear me chant, Africa, unite. Gone and accept the nice, alright.
Still you don't know.
Her skin is so dark and brown. She lifts me right off the ground. But no, you're not gonna see it on your TV. So you'll just listen up and believe me. Her dreams have the only cure.
All right, welcome back, and now let's talk our entertainment. We have a story for you here, and this one is coming from the moving duo of Aerostar and Rayman. Aerostar, the 23-year-old Nigerian singer and songwriter, dressed up as Rayman, her fellow Maven record artist, for Halloween, and fans can't stop talking about that. That's a bit some sort of strange pick for Halloween. I saw someone had a pic of Cleopatra for his for her Halloween dress, and someone dressed as a vampire, but lovely, and really, you know, I was thrilled. But someone picking a fellow Maven artist as you know, his character or her character, I mean, for Halloween costume, pretty much nice. Looking at the picture now, Aerostar indeed, you know, made this one. The dressing is just too perfect, a perfect match for what Rema usually dress like or look like. Interesting there. Okay, so as Aerostar reveal her Halloween costume this year is sporting recreation of Rema's look from the Who's That Get teaser. It felt like the perfect full cycle moment. Wow. So some sort of strange pick there, but very much interesting, and that has got fans talking, opting out, talking about, you know, Aerostar dressing like Rema for Halloween. Okay, that would just be much we can take in terms of entertainment on this show, as we have no much time left. We're quickly going to talk sport on this show for today. Quickly, in the Nigerian Premier Football League right now, a game is ongoing. Not a game, two matches are on at the Kwara State Stadium, now named at the Rashidi Yekini Stadium in Ilorin. It's Kwara United 1, Remo Stars 0. You remember days ago, over the last 2 weeks or thereabout, Remo Stars weren't in the headline in the news for the right reason, because they got pummeled by South African giant Mamelodi Sundowns. 7-1 on aggregate, that's over two legs. And back to the Premier League in Nigeria, they are trailing away from home to Kwara United. And at the minute, it's Benda Insurance 1, Warri Wolves 1, 89th minute played at the Samuel Ugbemudia Stadium in Benin. Yeah, so these are the fixtures for tomorrow. Barao will take on Wiki Tourist in at the Sani Abacha Stadium in Kano. Bayelsa United take on Plateau United. Ekenemi Warriors versus Enugu Rangers at the People's Elephant Park, like Emiet would like to call it, at the Elephant Park in Aba. It's going to be the biggest one, where Enyimba FC will host Troubled Caterpillars. Ikorodu City will host Queen Khalifa in Lagos. Niger Tornadoes play host to Abia Warriors at the Adokiye Amasimeka Stadium in Port Harcourt. It will be Rivers United versus Nasarawa United at the Lekan Salami Sports Complex in Ibadan. Shooting Stars versus Casino United. So these are the fixtures for this weekend in the Nigerian Premier Football League. Let's quickly see what we can take from the South African Premier League. Polokwane City at the minute and Richards Bay are playing at a Barrendro. And later today, it will be Chippa United versus AmaZulu FC. Earlier on, one of the biggest games in club football in Africa, talking domestic one now, Mamelodi Sundowns and Olaido Pirates settle for a 1-1 draw. Also early, we saw Orbit College defeated Magesi FC 3-1 in the South African Premier League. And then in the Moroccan League later today, we'll see Union Yakub El Masor take on Renaissance Club Zemamra. Yeah, these are the fixtures for yesterday in this Moroccan League. That's talking the Bartola Pro. KACM defeated Union Sport 3-0. Olympic de Kera 1, CD McLean's 1. RUS Bekene and Raja Casablanca, that one was postponed. Okay, so quickly, let's come down to England, talk at the English Premier League. The match going on away, going on between Manchester United and Nottingham Forest, 2-2 at the minute, and we are in the stoppages time of this one. United were first to score in this game through Casemiro, but Forest drew level through Gibbs White, then took the lead thanks to a goal from Savona, but United drew level through Amad Diallo, an African wonderman doing so well for United there. Yeah, my studio manager Jore is just on my case to get off the studio in a few minutes. Okay, I'll just try and run through some other fixtures now. Fulham defeating Wolves by 3-0 at the Craven Cottage. Crystal Palace 2, Brentford 2. These are game at the tail end. These games are their tail end, okay? Alright, yeah, Crystal Palace 2, Brentford 0. Burnley trailing Arsenal 2-0 at home, to the delight of Jory, my studio manager here, a big Arsenal fan, and lately Arsenal are doing so well to his delight. But he said he's very cautious because that has been the case of Arsenal over the last years, doing so well and not ending so great come end of season. Then we'll talk about next season again. Okay, Brighton 3, Leeds United 0. Later today, in some maybe about an hour from now or less, it will be Tottenham versus Chelsea, a London derby there. Then Liverpool take on Aston Villa. That's the result and fixtures from the English Premier League. In Spain, Athletic Madrid and Sevilla at the minute are playing out a 1-1 draw. Real Sociedad take on Athletic Club later on today, just about less than an hour from now. And also, Real Madrid will host Valencia at the Santiago Bernabéu Stadium. Of course, they'll still be smarting from that victory against Barcelona in El Clásico. Also, tomorrow we'll see Barcelona playoffs to Elche. Lastly, let's look at the fixtures in the Italian Serie A. Napoli will host Como just a few minutes from now. Cremonese will host Juventus as well. That's a 17:45 p.m. kickoff. Already, game concluded. Udinese peeping Atalanta with Ademola Lookman on the roster of Atalanta, and they lost 1-0 to Udinese. So these are the fixtures in the Italian Serie A, and the result of a match concluded already. So there will be more matches in the Italian Serie A for tomorrow. Hellas Verona host Inter Milan, and the big one will be the one involving AC Milan and AS Roma at the San Siro Stadium. Okay, then Fiorentina will play host to Lecce with manager Stefano Pioli, who is the manager of Fiorentina, still searching for his first victory since taking over, returning to Fiorentina after how many rounds of matches now? About 7 or 8 rounds of matches. No victory yet for Fiorentina under the tutelage of Stefano Pioli. Pioli is under fire in the wrong way now at the Ateneo Franchi Stadium in Florence. Too bad we just can't go on to take more sports stories, because there are so many sport developments from Africa I would have loved to share with you. But keeping to time is part of what we do as, you know, professional in this job, and that's how we even get to serve you the way we should. And of course, my manager is always here, Joran, to remind me of the time to get off the studio. Right, that will be the size of Africa Weekly for this week. Next week, edition return. Remember, the time is 4 p.m. Do keep a date with us, okay? I will bring you fresh stories, you know, from Africa. I'm going to leave you with this entertainment song. With this song, rather, from Harry Styles. He called Rush. Because we talk about Harry Styles dressing like her fellow Maven artist, talking about Rema for Halloween. So we're going to enjoy something from Harry Styles as we say bye to you for this weekend. I'll catch you some other time. Chris Okunwa is the name. Enjoy this one. And I'm leaving the studio in a rush. Daddy.
just hustle if you want job. If no finish, they won't fight us. If them they run, them no fit catch up. I know they form say I too righteous. No con they form say you too like us. Me no get the time for the hate and the bad energy. Got my mind on my money. Make you dance like broccoli. Steady green like broccoli. Steady on my grind, no one hear what they want telling me. Could deny my fantasy. You want to check if my talking go wrong. But in the rush, in the rush, where well, it be much. Now gonna make my talk in the rush. The kind money we touch. Yeah, in the rush, in the rush, where well, it be much. No be hype, everybody be crush. There's no darling. For me, Jack, but that I dey call Ghana. You never touch, you dey from Papa. Which kind of money we never see before? Cause hello me, call me feeling I'm the one. Aj, can never take my cake away. Aj, you can't count my grave. I just dey my lane. You no get the time for the hate and the bad energy. Come my mind on my money. Make you dance like broccoli. Steady green like. But in the rush, in the rush, where well, it be much. Now gonna make my top in the rush. The kind of money we touch. Yeah, in the rush, where well, it be much. We'll be hype, everybody in the crush. There's no darling with us. But in the rush, in the rush, where well, it be much. Now gonna make my top in the rush. The kind of money we touch. In the rush.
But you know, say me fancy you, mighty hello. Don't be surprised when I say hello. Yeah, mighty hello. Don't be surprised when I say hello.